from the scale of quantum strangeness at the smaller end to the scale of Einsteinian cosmology at the larger.
Our imaginations are forlornly under-equipped to cope with distances outside the narrow middle range of the ancestrally familiar. We try to visualize an electron as a tiny ball in orbit around a larger cluster of balls representing protons and neutrons. That isn't what it is like at all. Electrons are not like little balls. They are not like anything we recognize. It isn't clear that like even means anything when we try to fly too close to reality's further horizons. Our imaginations are not yet tooled up to penetrate the neighborhood of the quantum. Nothing at that scale behaves in the way matter, as we are evolved to think, ought to behave. Nor can we cope with the behavior of objects that move at some appreciable fraction of the speed of light. Common sense lets us down, because common sense evolved in a world where nothing moves very fast and nothing is very small or very large. At the end of a famous essay on possible worlds, the great biologist J.B.S. Haldane wrote,
"Now my own suspicion is that the universe is not only queerer than we suppose, but queerer than we can suppose. I suspect that there are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamed of or can be dreamed of in any philosophy."
By the way, I'm intrigued by the suggestion that the famous Hamlet speech invoked by Haldane is conventionally misspoken. The normal stress is on your.
There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy.
Indeed, the line is often plonkingly quoted with the implication that Horatio stands for shallow rationalists and skeptics everywhere. But some scholars place the stress on philosophy, with your almost vanishing. Than are dreamt of in your philosophy. The difference doesn't really matter for present purposes, except that the second interpretation already takes care of Haldane's any philosophy. The dedicatee of this book made a living from the strangeness of science, pushing it to the point of comedy. The following is taken from the same extempore speech in Cambridge in 1998, from which I've already quoted.
"The fact that we live at the bottom of a deep gravity well, on the surface of a gas-covered planet going around a nuclear fireball 90 million miles away, and think this to be normal, is obviously some indication of how skewed our perspective tends to be."
Where other science fiction writers played on the oddness of science to arouse our sense of the mysterious, Douglas Adams used it to make us laugh. Those who've read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy might think of the infinite improbability drive, for instance. Laughter is arguably the best response to some of the stranger paradoxes of modern physics. The alternative, I sometimes think, is to cry. Quantum mechanics, that rarefied pinnacle of 20th century scientific achievement, makes brilliantly successful predictions about the real world. Richard Feynman compared its precision to predicting a distance as great as the width of North America to an accuracy of one human hair's breadth. This predictive success seems to mean that quantum theory has got to be true in some sense, as true as anything we know, even including the most down-to-earth common-sense facts. Yet the assumptions that quantum theory needs to make in order to deliver those predictions are so mysterious that even the great Feynman himself was moved to remark, there are various versions of this quotation, of which the following seems to me the neatest,
"If you think you understand quantum theory, you don't understand quantum theory."
A similar remark is attributed to Niels Bohr. Anyone who is not shocked by quantum theory has not understood it.
Quantum theory is so queer that physicists resort to one or another paradoxical interpretation of it. Resort is the right word. David Deutsch in The Fabric of Reality embraces the many worlds interpretation of quantum theory, perhaps because the worst that you can say of it is that it is preposterously wasteful. It postulates a vast and rapidly growing number of universes existing in parallel and mutually undetectable except through the narrow porthole of quantum mechanical experiments. In some of these universes, I am already dead. In a small minority of them, you have a green moustache, and so on. The alternative, Copenhagen interpretation, is equally preposterous, not wasteful, just shatteringly paradoxical. Erwin Schrödinger satirized it with his parable of the cat. Schrödinger's cat is shut up in a box with a killing mechanism triggered by a quantum mechanical event. Before we open the lid of the box, we don't know whether the cat is dead. Common sense tells us that, nevertheless, the cat must be either alive or dead inside the box.